Great. Okay. Lovely. So, I thought that was really good this morning. I mean, what I loved about the dedications was just that passion and love that you felt from the parents for their kids. And I thought that just sums up really why we're doing this series in Freedom in Christ. Just like those parents have got that desire for their children to be all they can be in Christ, God's desire is for us to walk in that. And that's why we're doing it. That's why we're doing this series. So we're looking at a number of different aspects, some of these principles that are helping us to do that. So we've looked at who am I? Not me personally, but who we all are. We've looked at faith. We've looked at the world's view. And last week, you know, about those daily choices that we have and about the flesh and the lovely tongue twister of Romans 7 that I won't get you to repeat that again. Luke, I'll spare you from that. And today we're looking at this aspect around the battle. And we are all in a battle. Or more precisely, we all have a battle going on in our lives and actually in our minds. Not just as Christians, but everybody who's alive and who has ever lived, we're all in that position. Some of you will have experienced this from time to time. One of the classic ones is on a Sunday, I don't want to go to church today, I can't be bothered. You know, you're kind of thinking of different excuses. And sometimes that's fine. But then other times you'll get there and you go, do you know what? I'm really glad I came to church this morning. That message is exactly what I needed to hear. I don't know if people have experienced that. I have. Yeah. Or, you know, maybe even now you're having a little bit of a battle about, do I need to listen to this? I'm thinking about my Sunday lunch. You know, I can switch off. So we get these battles in our mind from time to time. Obviously we do. Yeah. So that's what we're going to be looking at today. So we're going to be mainly looking in the book of Ephesians, but I've got some other passages as well that we're going to look at. If you've got your Bibles, you can flick to that. But be ready, because we are going to jump around a lot. And I'm going to do like the bad news side of it, and then I'm going to finish with the good news. I think that's a nicer way of doing it. So that's kind of what we're going to look at today. Right, so this is the bad news. This is the situation that we're in. So in Ephesians 2:1, it says, you were dead in your transgressions in sin, in which you once walked, under the control of the age of this world, under the control of the ruler of the air, the spirit who is now powerfully working in the sons of disobedience, among us who we once lived in the lusts of our flesh and of our minds. So that was pretty bad. That was the situation that we were all in. So that's an important thing to remember. None of us hopefully think we're now perfect in that sense. We were all in that place. And because we're not fully where God wants us to be, he's not come back yet, and the world's not all as it should be, we can still get these influences coming into our place, into our minds. So there's no place for pride or self-righteousness in us. We're all in the same situation. And we've talked about a couple of these already. And quite a lot of these talks that we're going to do in the series, if you've not already realised, you know, they do overlap quite a lot. They're not all just little boxes. They're all part of the same big principle of work being free. So we've talked about the world. You know, there's these things that we see, these influences in the world that are trying to say, this is what the world's supposed to be like. This is what it is to look wonderful. This is what it is to be successful. This is what it is. This is how you should live your life. You know, and that's different in different parts of the world. But there's always something, some kind of culture. There's constant pressure coming in on our minds. And, it can be from TV. That's always trying to give us a narrative that's coming into our brains. It can be from social media. We know that's a fairly newish thing that's coming in. Music. Other people as well, you know, are telling us constantly, this is what the world's supposed to be like. This is what good looks like. This is how you should live your life. Constantly pouring in on us. And like last week, we talked about the flesh. We've all got those weaknesses to certain temptations, haven't we? You know, there's those things, oh, just one little look there, a little more glance than maybe I should do. Oh, I won't bother working quite so hard today. It's sunny, I'll skive off a little bit from work. Or I won't work so hard when the boss isn't working. And there's those lusts of our flesh. And we've got this world view. We've got our own weaknesses, our own fleshly life, all competing in our mind. But today we're looking at this third element, okay? Which is, in this passage, it talks about the ruler of the air, that there's some spiritual thing going on as well. Now, just to say that all these things can operate in isolation. So it can just be our flesh. And that can also be the fact that our bodies aren't perfect. That might just be that we're in a bad place in our mind. It might be ill. All sorts of things can affect the way we think. Like a couple of weeks ago when I boiled my brain, I was talking nonsense, you know. Fortunately, I wasn't speaking that day. But, you know, it got that bad that I had to go to hospital. You know, so we recognise that being in a broken world, sometimes medical things can do this as well. But there can be this element, this spiritual piece as well, that is also influencing what's going on. So we can have all those things individually, or quite often we can have a combination of them working together. There's this spiritual thing going on in the background, taking advantage of our weaknesses, you know, trying to put these narratives. And they're all doing that, trying to say what the world's like. And this has been something that's been around a long, long time. So if you like your classics, Plato, have people heard of Plato? He was a Greek philosopher. And in his book, The Republic, which is really, really good, by the way, he talks about this analogy of the cave. So this is where people were chained all their lives, just looking at a projection or some shadows on the cave wall. And from that, they thought the world was like, you know, well, that's what a lion looks like. That's what the outside world looks like. But what they didn't realise is actually those shadows were being formed by people putting shapes and things. So there was something giving them a world view. And the only way that they could be rescued from that was if someone could come into the cave, break the chains and lead them out, so they would then gradually see what reality was like. If you don't want to read the book, if you like watching films, there's the film The Matrix actually used that exact analogy. So people seen The Matrix? But I shall explain it for those who haven't, yeah? So it's exactly the same. So in this situation, everybody was living in a computer simulation. And there was this guy called Neo and this chap called Morpheus kind of started to rescue him from this situation. And there's a scene, which you can Google on YouTube if you want to watch it later, called the red and blue pill scene. So Morpheus is saying, yes, the world isn't as you think it is. Because like a lot of us, we think, surely this isn't what life's meant to be like. There's something going on. And he offers him a blue pill, in which you can just go back to the world in the simulation and just carry on your life. Or you can have the red pill, and we'll show you what the truth's going to be. And that's the choice. So you can have that choice today. You can have a blue pill, think about your lunch, or you can go and stick with the red pill, and we'll go and look at the truth, okay? So hopefully you want the red pill. You want to look at the truth today. But as Morpheus says, and I can't do an impersonation, all I'm offering is the truth, okay? So let's do that. So now, so we're going to have to talk about this side of things, this chap, and we're not going to dwell on it too much, but it is something that occasionally in church we need to talk about, and you've come today when that today is the day. So, this spiritual force is not just some neutral thing. It's not the force like in Star Wars. There is actually somebody or some things behind it. So, in 1 Corinthians 14, it talks about Satan, okay? In John 8, it talks about the devil. You know, there's some other descriptions. Now, what he isn't, let's do that. So he's not a red figure with a pitchfork. He is not God. He is not another God. He's not equal with God. He is a created being. He can't be everywhere at once. He doesn't know everything. And he's not all powerful. But him and others like him go around and try and deceive you with lies to keep you away from living that life that we've been talking about, that freedom there. He's described as a murderer. The Satan means accuser. Devil, that can be a slanderer. He is the father of lies and he is a thief. There is nothing good in him or the others that are there. So occasionally they can start to attack in these battles our minds, and they do that. How does that happen? Well, again in Ephesians, we're sticking with it. So it talks about in your former manner of life, that is the which is corrupt in accordance with deceitful desires. So the enemy just whispers lies. That's how they operate. They will whisper temptation. Like, say, one more click, a longer glance, you know, put my feet up, something like that. Accusations. You're not good enough. All these other lovely people in church are great, but you're not. You don't deserve to be there. Deception. Oh, I know the Bible might say that, but actually that's not quite true. That's out of date. This is actually what is good. And all these things can get into our minds. And if we don't know how to defend ourselves against it and help others as well. So this isn't just for you. If you're on top of all this, you can still help other people as well. All these things will come out as we get the deception or these lies or temptations come in. If we don't deal with them, they will then become our thoughts, which will then become our actions. And they can manifest themselves in loads and loads of ways. I've just taken some from Ephesians, but there's obviously millions of other examples. So just, you know, sexual immorality, you can guess I've been hinting at that already. Obscenity, slandering, bitterness is a really bad thing as well. Uncontrolled anger. Idolatry, maybe not so much of that. Hopefully we won't get into that. But when we're not Christians, we can see that where people start worshipping other things, that New Age stuff that was a real big problem at the back end of the last century for certain. And just other behavioural things. So, yeah, stealing drugs and insincere service. That was that passage about not working well when your boss isn't working. You know, that sort of thing. All of those things can come out and affect us. Now, another aspect is around the timing of these. Now, hopefully and thankfully, it's usually for most people not a constant thing. But it will come along from time to time. Like I say, maybe coming to church on a Sunday, you'll encounter it. But the other thing as well is it will come along at key points in your life, usually when God is about to do something good. He will come in and try and stop you doing it. So right the way back at the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis, so God's created this amazing universe. He's put us in it. And his desire is that we live in the fullness of all that God has designed for us. But then chapter 3, along comes Satan, is sort of described as a serpent in this passage. And what does he do? He's more crafty than all of the wild animals that God or Yahweh has made. And he says to the woman, did God really say? So this is his way of trying to sow doubt in your mind. And of course, rather than all of humanity being in that place of abundance, perfect relationship with God, they fell for it. Instead of thinking that God had the best for them, they chose to not listen and go their own way. And that has affected every single one of us ever since. That is why the world is broken, because they made that choice. The devil is not stupid. Yeah, if you want to pollute a river, you do it at the source, and then you pollute all the way through. And that's what he's done to history and mankind. He's polluted that. So that's what happens. That's the worst case of believing him. Now, the other thing to say is if you get these attacks, does not mean there's something wrong with you, okay? It's not bad Christians that only get these temptations or these thoughts or these things whispering to you. All of us will get it, okay? They will come in. So Jesus himself, in a few occurrences, actually had Satan attack him, yeah? Probably the most well-known one is, again, right at the beginning, just before he was going to start his ministry, he's baptized by John the Baptist. And then it says in Luke there, 3:22, as Jesus is baptized, he says, "You are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." And then Jesus is then going to go off and do all these amazing wonders and tell us about the kingdom of God and ultimately save us. But the devil, straight in there. If you are the Son of God, yeah? If you're a Christian, if you're this, if you're that, he got in, he wanted to try and stop Jesus doing it. But Jesus defeated Satan there, and we'll talk about that in a couple of minutes' time. But the devil then finished tempting, but this is the important bit, he left him until an appropriate time. So it wasn't a once for all. Even for Jesus, Satan came back and had another go. So we shouldn't expect anything less. And in fact, one of the other times he came along, again, just as Jesus, he'd done all his teaching and preaching and sort of most of the miracles at that point, just about to go into Jerusalem for that last week ahead of his passion, where he was going to give himself up to be sacrificed, to be killed on the cross, which we read in Matthew 16 there. So he tells his disciples, his closest friends, his closest followers, that he's going to do this. And then Peter, who's supposed to be, you know, the top man there, what does he say? "Far be it from you, Lord. This will never happen to you again." And Jesus turns to him, having just blessed him before for recognizing he was the Christ, and says to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me." Because, again, Peter, and obviously either through his flesh or, again, listening to lies of the enemy, didn't want Jesus to be the Messiah that he had to be. And that's another thing just for us to be wary for ourselves, that we don't do it, but also sometimes where these thoughts and these lies can come from can be other people that are very close to us. You know, we're kind of there ready for people on the outside. We expect people outside the church to criticize Christians and stuff like that. But sometimes people within our own family or even in the church inadvertently can say something, you know, damaging. So we need to be careful for ourselves, but also be vigilant on these things, yeah?
Amen.
Thank you. And, Satan didn't even give up there as well. So even whilst Jesus was on the cross, so he knew what was coming, Satan tried to get Jesus off the cross by using the crowd. So he said, "If you're the Son of God," I think we've heard that phrase before, haven't we? "Come down from the cross." And then a little bit later in 27:43, talks about he trusted in God, let God rescue him. And what does Jesus do? He quotes scripture back. So when he says, my God, why have you abandoned me?" he's actually quoting Psalm 22. Yeah, I don't know if you knew that. So that was the first line, but it says, "All who see me mock me. They hurl insults at me, shaking their heads. He trusts in Yahweh, let Yahweh rescue him." And it goes on. So if you read the rest of Psalm 22, it talks about, "They have pierced my hands and my feet. They divide my garments among them and cast lots on my clothing. For he has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry from help." And then down in 27, "And the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord." And the last one, verse 31, "They will proclaim his righteousness to the yet unborn, for he has done it." So Jesus used scripture there as the way to come back. Now, if we don't do that, of course, the consequences is what Satan's trying to do is keep us separate from Christ. He doesn't want us to enter into that relationship. He wants us to be excluded from all the good things that God has got for us, and he wants to keep us spiritually dead. I'm not going to read them all because I'm just conscious of time there, but you can, so I can get the references to you later. But let's go on to the good news. Victory. Okay. So, in Ephesians 5:6, it says, "We are not aware of Satan's schemes." If you were before, you're not now. Okay? So we know what he's up to. And just like the verse we read at the beginning, where we know that Satan came to destroy and keep us down, Jesus came in order that they, you and me, may have life and have it in its abundance. And in chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "But God," we love all the "but God" verses, they're brilliant, "who is rich in mercy because of his great love, which he has loved us, and who, when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive with Christ. By grace you have been saved. He raised us with him, and he seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." So you could go on. I always prescribe the first three chapters of Ephesians. If you're struggling, read those three chapters. It will help. And of course, Jesus wants us to walk in that life. You know, the things that we're going to look at, and we'll remind ourselves in a minute what God does for us, are all there so that we can resist the devil and we can walk in that life, and that we don't allow Satan that place in our minds or in our lives. And there's this great phrase that Paul uses throughout Ephesians in their 3:20s, one of them says, "To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever." It's our position in Christ that means that we can defeat Satan and we can live the life that he's designed for us, okay? We can't do it on our own. We need God. And that's the really good news. God equips us. So I'm going to read through a few verses from Ephesians 6:10, which talks about the armour of God. Quite a well-known passage to many. So I'm going to read through that, and then we're just quickly going to remind ourselves of what some of those are. So it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty strength. Put on the complete armour of God so that you are strengthened to stand against the strategies of the devil. Because our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, the world powers of this darkness, the evil spiritual beings in the heavenly places. Because of this, take up the complete armour of God, so that you are strengthened to withstand on the evil day, and once you have prepared everything, to stand. Stand then by strapping truth around your waist, and putting on the breastplate of righteousness, and putting on your feet the preparation of the gospel of peace, in all situations by taking up the shield of faith with which you have power to quench all the flaming arrows from the evil one. And by taking the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and by praying in the Spirit at all times with every kind of prayer and request, by watching for this purpose with all perseverance and making requests for all the saints." And Paul just finishes off, "And finally for me," that's Paul, "that my words may be given to me so that whenever I open my mouth, I could make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, which for which I am chained, a changed ambassador, that I may declare it boldly as I should speak." So just for time, I'm going to whip through these just as a reminder, because we've got some important stuff as well. So, firstly, God provides everything that we need to stand. We don't have to do it in our strength. God provides the full armour, the complete armour, one word in reality, so that we've got everything that we need to be strengthened, so that we can stand against these schemes.
Praise God.
Yeah, amen. I'm just going to move over so I can do it quicker this way. Truth. The best thing to counter lies with is truth. So when God's saying you're rubbish, you're not worthy, you're not as good as this person or that person, remind yourself of these. So we're talking about strapping on things like an armor. And I know some people, you know, you like to do that as a way of doing it. You kind of imagine doing it, putting it on. But really, I quite like to think, I keep it on all the time, but I give it a bit of a polish. Yeah, because I don't want to take it off. I want to be protected by these all the time. And in reality, you are. These are all true of us. We just need to remind ourselves of these amazing things, which is why I say, I'm not going to read them all, but read the first three chapters of Ephesians. There's this massive list about being alive with Christ, right the way through to being seated with Christ in the heavenlies. Go and read those chapters. Remind yourself. And like I say, if you think it's a spiritual attack that you're under, say them out loud. You know, Satan can't read your mind. You know, only God can do that. So say them out loud. Even if it's not a spiritual thing, you can say them out loud. So a great big list of great things there. Righteousness. We are right before God. Yeah? Not because, again, we're great, but because God, Jesus, did complete his work on the cross. And therefore, God sees us as righteous. So every time Satan says, oh, no, you're not good enough, you've lost your salvation, remind him, no, we're not. We are righteous because of what Christ did on the cross. Preparation for the gospel of peace. Quite often we miss that preparation bit. Are you ready to express the gospel, either to remind yourself or to others that need to know that God loves them and has got all these great things in store for them? Remind yourself, you know, get yourself ready. You know, have a nice little short version of the gospel, slightly longer version, but be familiar with the good news. Faith. Again, rather than believe Satan, believe God. Yeah? When God says that you are saved, believe him that you are saved. Not that you've blown it or something like that and you can never, ever come back to God. Ignore him. It's by grace, isn't it? It's a gift. Not anything that we've done. God has done it all. Salvation. We are saved, okay? When you put your faith in Christ, you are saved. I've got a favourite Greek text, tense. That is how sad I am, okay? There's a tense called the perfect tense, which means that there's an action in the past, which consequences continue into the future and into the present. So when it says you have been saved in those two, it's using that. Brilliant tense. Love it. I recommend it to you, okay? You have been saved. You cannot lose it. The Word of God. So I think it's, you know, from what we've been looking at, learn scriptures, read the Bible. If you can't remember it, just make it a habit to try and take on as much of the Bible as possible. Because that's what Jesus used to counter it. Like he did on the cross, he did the same when he was being tempted in the wilderness. Use the scriptures, you know, don't tempt God, or whatever it was that he used at that time. Know the truth of the Bible to counter it. And prayer. That's the kind of the atmosphere that you need to do. Try and be in that kind of permanent state that you're always ready to pray. You know, it's not a last resort. It's a way that you do it. And if when you're going to proclaim these truths, you know, pray that God would strengthen you and enable you to use the armor and the weapons in an effective way. And be vigilant. So, like I said, there's two mistakes you can make with the devil. One, you think he doesn't exist or he's going to ignore you completely. The other one, that he's doing everything, that he's behind every bad thing. You know, I haven't got a parking space because the devil's had a go. You know, those two errors, but don't ignore the reality of it. Try and be in that position that you're watching out. And like you say, even if you've got it all sorted, do pray for others as well that may need that support. Back to you, Sam.